May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 and we'll read the last clause in verse 19. The Gospel of Luke chapter 22 and reading the last clause in verse 19. This do in remembrance of me. Well, it's been some 5 months, of course, since we've been able to hold the Lord's Supper because we haven't really been able to meet here. And therefore, we haven't been able to obey this word of the Lord's, which instructs us to this do in remembrance of me, which is, of course, to keep that which the Lord instituted on that Passover night in the upper room. But we should be thankful tonight that we are able to gather together for this position and situation, and we pray the Lord will be with and bless us indeed. It is a wonderful privilege that the Lord, in his mercy to the Church of God, instituted the Lord's Supper after what we might remember as the Last Supper, the Passover, which had been carried out for hundreds, indeed thousands of years, had now come to an end. There was to be no more need for it, because that which the Passover foretold was now going to be fulfilled. And after it was fulfilled, therefore there was a new situation, because in the fulfillment of that Passover, what occurred was the death and the resurrection of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord very wonderfully therefore carried out this Passover, and as we read together in the 15th verse of this 22nd chapter, the Lord said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And so this was effectively the last true Passover. We know, of course, the Passover is still maintained among the Israelites today, but the whole significance has passed away. And so sadly, most of the Jewish people do not realize that which they are partaking of and remembering has no present significance because it has already occurred. Nonetheless, the Lord graciously partook of this Passover, and having said that he would not eat it any more until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Of course, as we look forward, the Church of God looks forward, there will be a wonderful time in glory. Of course, we don't know the details of that, but what we do know is this: that there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a wonderful fulfillment of the Word of God when the whole Church of God, every member, will be privileged to sit down at that, on that wonderful occasion, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That means when the whole Church of God, the Bride of Christ, is united to the Bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful position to ponder and to think about, so that as we partake of the supper on this earth, to always be able to look forward to that great day in glory. And so the Lord Jesus then came with the disciples, and it would seem that Judas was still with them on that occasion. He went out after the Lord had instituted the Lord's Supper. And so he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So we have this wonderful statement, really, that the Lord was giving his body for the church of God, giving his body as a living sacrifice. He gave himself, his whole self, as a sacrifice to satisfy the demands of the holy law of God. There was nothing other than the giving of the life of the Saviour which was going to be satisfactory to a holy God for our salvation, and indeed for the salvation of the whole church of God. And in order, therefore, to bring this to fulfillment, the Lord Jesus Christ was to give his life. And so he tells the disciples he had spoken previously while he was on the earth of that which would come to pass, his death, how it would come to pass, how it would be those 3 days, and how he would rise from the dead. But the problem was the disciples' eyes were blinded. Their ears were really stopped. They didn't really understand the great significance of what was to occur, of that which they were to observe. They just didn't really understand it. And as we know, it wasn't until after the Lord rose from the dead that these things were revealed to the disciples. So it will be a great blessing for us today, in this gospel day, if we are blessed with a right appreciation and a right understanding of the wonder of that which the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the behalf of all his people when he died upon Calvary's cross. And also this wonderful act of introducing this supper of remembrance for us today. See, we are very forgetful, and we often fail to appreciate the great cost of our salvation. And so the Lord very graciously and very wonderfully brought about this supper that we are to remember. And so he says, "This do in remembrance of me." And that is a word directed to every true believer. It's not something that you and I can avoid, or something which is irrelevant and somehow it doesn't apply to us. It is a wonderful word of the Saviour to the living church of God, that they might do this in remembrance of me. And therefore it is a great blessing if you and I have that true desire to partake of this which the Lord has left on record, so that you and I remember the cost of our salvation. And it's spelt out really in 2 ways. First of all, his body, the broken body of the Saviour. And remember, there were no bones broken. In the book of Psalms, we're told that there were no bones broken. And so there were no bones broken. His hands and his feet were pierced. His side was pierced with a spear, but there were no bones broken. And so his body was broken. And then also, of course, there was the wonderful truth that he shed his blood in order to atone for the sins of the whole church of God. And so in a very simple ceremony, we find set before us the wonderful significance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you and I need to have a personal interest in it, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ did die, he did shed his precious blood, his body was broken in order that you and I might receive the great and blessed and glorious gift of eternal life. This do in remembrance of me. And we are thankful, therefore, that ever since this was instituted, down through the ages, the Church of God, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, have kept this ordinance. And what a blessing it is that you and I are able, by the grace of God, to keep this ordinance. Of course, there is, as I'm sure we know, a qualification to partaking of the ordinance is to pass through the only other New Testament ordinance which we have in the New Testament, and that of course is a baptism, and of course it's referred to correctly as believer's baptism. It's not something which is to be put on or gone through by those who are unbelievers, but those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are to follow the blessed example of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be baptized. We look back, don't we, to the early days of the Saviour. When he was 30 years of age, he came to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, indeed baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the wonderful significance of what occurred on that occasion when the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And the voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we know that the Scripture is true, and we know that the things that are recorded are true, and therefore those words with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ were true. And as we know, they were spoken from heaven. They were spoken to the blessed Saviour in his wonderful example to us. What a mercy it is if God gives us grace to follow the pattern set before us in the Word of God of believers' baptism and coming to the Lord's Supper. And when we think and compare it with the Old Testament, there were so many ceremonies which had to be carried out so exactly in those days. And now in this New Testament age, we have two very simple and two very significant ordinances to carry out in accordance with the commands of Almighty God. This do in remembrance of me. Well, it's no hardship, is it? There's nothing difficult about it, is it? It's a very simple ordinance. Many of the Old Testament ordinances were not easy. They were difficult to actually carry out, and they had to be carried out so very accurately. Whereas we are blessed today with the simplicity of these ordinances and the significance. And of course, as we recently had set before us the ordinance of believers' baptism and what that represented in following the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these things do have a deep, although very simple, significance. And we should not think they are irrelevant. We should recognize they are very relevant to us, and they are instituted by God himself. It wasn't just something haphazard. It was something that was planned in eternity past. And there it was, eventually fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ came to live on this earth. And so let us remember this wonderful blessing of the broken body of the Saviour, and to realize that it was done in order that you and I might be forgiven of all our sins. Because as we're born into this earth, we're born into this earth as a sinner, as an undone sinner, as an unpardoned sinner. And as such, we can never go to heaven. We need a Saviour. We need someone to save our souls. We need someone to deliver us. And the only person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what do we think tonight of the Saviour? You may say, well, that's a very obvious question. Well, the Word of God is obvious. But what a blessing if you and I have right thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means thoughts which humble us, to think that this ordinance of the Lord's Supper was brought about for the whole church of God to remember him. This do in remembrance of me. It's very simple, isn't it? Very simple words, very straightforward. But how many people turn away from them? How many people somehow seem to think they have no application to their life? And yet, many people glibly think they're going to heaven, glibly think everything's going to be wonderful when they come to die. And yet, while on this earth, pass over the gracious words of God. Ignore them and think and value the Saviour in a very small or perhaps no way at all. If the Holy Spirit directs us to have some small appreciation of a number of things, first of all, to realise that all of us must die, and all of us must either go to heaven and either go to hell. There's no alternative. There's no other place. There's no other way to go, you and I, when time for us will be no more. We shall either be in heaven or we shall be in hell. And that's a very solemn consideration, because as we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, if we remain in that condition, if we remain in that position, there is only one place that we will go to, and that will be eternal hell with eternal misery. And don't forget that eternity means what it says. There is no end. There is no end. It's hard for us to appreciate. But it is good sometimes to just sit still and try and think how long eternity is. You will find, if you sit down properly before God, that it is an enormous sound. You cannot say it is an enormous time, because there is no time. When our life upon earth finishes, time for us finishes. And we enter into that eternal state, either to be in heaven with the Saviour or to be in hell with the devil. And that forever. So it's a very solemn position to find ourselves in. And all of us will find ourselves in that position. But what a wonderful blessing if we are amongst those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died to take away our sin. You see, there is no sin in heaven. Heaven is a holy place. There is no sin in heaven. And that means if you and I have sin, we cannot go to heaven. That means if you and I are not forgiven, we cannot go to heaven. And therefore, how necessary it is that we are forgiven, that our sins are taken away. And the only way that our sins can be taken away, and we're all sinners, and don't ever think we're not a very bad sinner, one sin condemns us to eternity in hell. There's no such thing really as a small sin. Sin is sin. And if we are not washed from our sin, not cleansed from our sin, we shall not go to heaven. And yet how vitally important it is that we do go to heaven. And we shall only go to heaven if we are amongst those for whom the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, died. Those whom he loved. Those for whom he had mercy. Those who he caused to pray. You know, you and I might say our prayers. I hope we all do say our prayers. But there's a very big difference between just saying prayers and praying to God. You might say, well, can you just explain what you mean? Well, what I mean is this. You and I can just say words. Words are very easy to say. You and I can repeat prayers. Nothing wrong in repeating prayers. But the great important thing is that you and I are blessed with words, prayer, from our heart. That means our innermost being. Not just a mere form of natural words, but something that we really mean. Something which is really important to us. Something that we really want to receive an answer for. Well, if the Holy Spirit comes and touches our hearts, we will know what it is to really pray to God. And we have a very simple prayer recorded in the Bible. The Lord Jesus speaks a parable. He speaks about a Pharisee and a publican, two different examples. One was very proud of his religion, very proud of his prayers, thought he was a great prayer. The other man was the complete opposite. And his prayer was very simple. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us a lovely example of a very simple prayer so we don't have to learn anything complicated? And that simple prayer was just this: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that man prayed from his heart. And the Lord Jesus tells us, he said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That means he was made just before God. He was justified. He was no longer under that condemnation because God had received him. God had heard his prayer. And so may you and I come. We don't have to come in any complicated way, but we do have to come, and we do have to pray, and we do have to pray sincerely, and we do have to pray from our heart that God would and will be merciful to us, a sinner. And that will mean that we feel condemned before God because of our sins. Condemned, really, to suffer eternally for our sins. See, that's the punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death in hell with the devil. That's the payment. What a blessing, therefore, if the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world for the great and wonderful favour of saving us, delivering us from the wrath to come, setting our hearts and our affections upon things above. Now, the Lord has set before us this gracious and wonderful example of himself dying in our place. You see, if we were to die, give our life, it wouldn't be satisfactory to a holy God, because our life is a sinful life. And as I already said, no sin can enter into heaven. So our life, we might give a sacrifice. Some people do give their lives, but my friends, it won't get us to heaven. What will get us to heaven is the evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ has given his life for us. And what a life that was to give. Just again, think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ was God, is God. The second person in the Trinity, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The one who created all things. The one who controls all things today in this vast world. He gave his life so that you and I might receive the gift of eternal life. And you see, you and I need this as a personal application to our souls. To know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. You will need it personally applied to you. It won't be any good, will it? The person sitting next to you in the seat going to heaven and you not. It won't be any satisfactory situation for the person next to you to be forgiven and you not. We all need the blessed forgiveness of all our sins. We all need to know that the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, graciously, wonderfully, gloriously died to save our souls, died to redeem us. To redeem us means to pay the price which you and I should pay but could not pay, because we didn't have the right currency. Our currency was faulty. It wasn't satisfactory. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he gave his life. And his life was a perfect life. And because it was a perfect life that he gave, it was satisfactory to Almighty God as that sin atoning sacrifice. And so here we are tonight with these very simple words: this do in remembrance of me. To remember the cost of our salvation in the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the symbol taken for that is just bread. A very simple element, isn't it? Very available, nothing difficult. And the Lord selected this very simple element so that it could be obvious to us and that we can be partakers of it. And as we do partake of this bread, to realize what it represents, it represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a mercy if the Holy Spirit then comes and applies these truths to our hearts and applies the relevance of them and the importance of them, because they're not something which is just a mere figment of our imagination. It's the very word of God. It's the very truth of God. And it has great relevance to you and to me. None of us, I hope, want to enter, or rather go out of this world, without a hope of eternal life, without the evidence that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his body to redeem our souls. What a mercy to think the Lord should have looked upon us. You know, he tells us in the 15th of John these simple words, "Ye have not chosen me." We wouldn't choose God by nature. But he says, "But I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." It is the great prerogative of Almighty God to choose his people, not because of any good that they've done. You and I will never be able to come and say, "Well, I merited getting to heaven." None of us merit getting to heaven. All of us deserve to go to hell. Be very clear about that. We all deserve to be shut out. What a mercy then to have a Saviour who has willingly come to save our souls and has willingly died upon that cross at Calvary. And so we have then this ordinance of the Lord's Supper set before us in the broken body of the Saviour and also in the shed blood. Because the words go on to tell us, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It's hard, isn't it, for us to understand really the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the Epistle of the Hebrews, without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness, there's no remission. Blood had to be shed. And the reason for that is, it was the Lord's way of cleansing, the Lord's way of healing through the shed blood. And you can go right back in the history of the world to the days of Adam and Eve, when the Lord graciously came and gave them animal skins to clothe them, to cover their nakedness. They just made some aprons of fig leaves. It wasn't satisfactory at all. But the Lord graciously came and gave them that covering of skins, which very clearly signified that in order to produce that, the animals had to have been slain. The life had to be taken. The life was given. The blood was shed. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. You know, we do read a lot about blood in the Word of God, right from Genesis, right through to Revelation. There's much about blood. But perhaps one little verse stands out. And that stands out in the epistle of Peter, when he tells us, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your elders, but with the precious blood of Christ." Now, surely the Apostle Peter knew the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because here it was, as we read together in this 22nd chapter, who was so bold. He was so bold that he would never deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord told him that he would, and he would do it three times. You see how strong Peter thought he was in himself. And it's a big warning to us cannot think that we're strong, that we would never do this or never do that. As the Apostle Peter also says, kept by the power of God. He knew the significance of such words. He knew the strength of such words. And he knew, therefore, that he needed to be cleansed with the precious blood of the Saviour. And that's why he's able to speak so beautifully and so forcefully, that he indeed was blessed with that wonderful deliverance, the precious blood of Christ. Well, tonight, as we think of these words, what a blessing it is if we have some appreciation of the value of the blood of Christ. The hymn writer has a little line which tells us this: invaluable blood. That means you and I cannot put a value on the blood of Christ. You may say, well, why is that? Well, it's quite easy to understand, really. If you ponder again eternity, which never has an end, and the value of this blood shed to take away our sins gives us blessed access into glory with the Saviour, and that will never be removed. We shall be eternally with the Saviour. So therefore, perhaps, you can understand a little the value of this blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy then tonight, as we ponder this word of instruction, this do in remembrance of me. It's not remembering anything else. It's a very simple statement. My friends, it's a very necessary statement. And how blessed we are to be able to gather together to remember the cost of our salvation. That really is what it sets before us, the cost of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered. There's a line in the hymn which says, he suffered all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. Incarnate means God being made man. And the most that he could bear, right to the very limits. And as we read in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, entering into that Garden of Gethsemane, we have a little view, don't we, of the agony. Just think, it was the agony to save and to redeem our souls. That's why it's a wonderful privilege to remember him. Yes, it was an agony, we're told. The Lord came and said, pray that ye enter not into temptation, to his disciples. And he was withdrawn from them as stones cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, the Saviour was so willing to do his Father's will. Are you and I willing to do the will of the Saviour? And the will of the Saviour is clearly this: this do in remembrance of me. Well, what a blessing. The Lord Jesus was willing to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Well, that gives us just a little view of how he suffered, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what you and I, by the grace of God, are able to remember: the cost of our salvation. The enormous cost of our salvation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died as God, but he died as man. He died as our representative. What a wonderful favour to have such a Saviour who was so willing to suffer so greatly for such an unworthy sinner as you and me. Do you think you're worth dying for? Do you think you're worth the Lord Jesus dying for? Well, our response should really be, well, no, of course. So why did the Lord Jesus die for us? Do you know why he did? Because he loved us. He loved us with an everlasting love from eternity past. Again, a mystery that you and I cannot understand. You and I can't understand everything. No, there are some mysteries in the Word of God that you and I can't understand. But the Lord gives us faith to believe the truth of God's Word. And the truth of God's Word is before us in this very simple statement. This do in remembrance of me. And of course, his sufferings didn't halt in Gethsemane. He was arrested. He was taken to the judgment hall. He was mocked. He was lashed. He was beaten. The Saviour endured so, so much. And then, of course, he was condemned to death, not because of his sin, but he was condemned to death to bear the punishment due to you and me. That's why we have that lovely line of the hymn, he bore the punishment instead. That which was due to us, he bore. He went to the cross willingly, willingly, and suffered there on that cross when his Father hid his face from him. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Saviour bore that for us. His body was broken. He shed his most precious blood in order to fulfill the glorious demands of a holy God who demanded life to take away sin. And the blessed Saviour so willingly fulfilled that which was set before him. And of course, he came to that time when his work was complete. After 33 years on this earth, he was able to come and speak those wonderful words, "It is finished." And we know that there was a gracious and wonderful approval by the Father. And we see that in the evidence of that veil of the temple, which had separated between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was and the mercy seat, was torn from the top to the bottom. There was now no more need of entry into that holy place, because now there was access into the Holy of Holies, heaven itself, through the shed blood, the personal sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what a mercy for us today, unworthy sinners, as we come and do this in remembrance of me, but realize that you and I can pray to our Father in heaven, the great holy God, through the one sacrifice of our Saviour, through his finished work, as he there intercedes for us, he stands between. Again, the hymn writer says, in garments dyed in blood. And it's he, instead of us, that is seen as we approach to God. Well, let us have some little understanding of the greatness of these simple words. This do in remembrance of me. It is a wonderful favour and a wonderful privilege that poor sinners of the earth can come together and remember the dying love of the Saviour. And so these words, may they apply to us, may they rest with us, may they be a blessing to us. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." May all of us know by the glorious grace of God that the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth from all sin, was shed so that you and I might live eternally with the Saviour, having all our sins forever washed away. Amen.